Good morning. The Hebrew Bible lesson this morning is from 1 Kings 17, 8 through 24. The Bible in front of you in the pew there, it's on page 309. And in the large print Bible, it's on page 401. It's a rather long passage, so bear with me. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of the meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The word of God for the people of God. The psalm reading today is Psalm 146, and that's in your hymnal on page 858. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Their breath departs. They return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners and upholds the widow and the orphan, but the Lord brings the way of the wicked to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Praise the Lord.
Our epistle lesson comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 176 of the New Testament, and in the large print Bible on page 228 of the New Testament. 228. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced to Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the tradition of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me so that I might proclaim Him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 17, and it's on page 61 of the New Testament. It's a continuation of last week's story. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was in his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bearer, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Sunday after Evelyn Wilbur's funeral, Pastor Will came into the parlor where we were having our Sunday morning Bible study. In his hand, he was carrying a wilted rose that he had taken out of one of the arrangements the Wilbers had left for us to enjoy during our Sunday morning service. Will said that he was sprucing up the arrangement a bit and thought that that rose was pretty much done. We sat there for a moment looking at it, looking at that rose. And Stephanie noticed that the outer petals were wilted, but the center looked like it hadn't even bloomed yet. As we sat there and thought about it, it did look like it could bloom again. It had a tight little bud in the center. Will looked at it and said he agreed, then looking at me, asked if I could come up with a sermon for that rose. Well, I hesitated for several minutes, and Will said to me, "The answer is yes." I said I could, But it would take a lot of thought and an intervention or two from the Holy Spirit to get that done. And he said it would probably take several interventions from the Holy Spirit. Well, that conversation ran through my mind for the next several days. And I finally decided that I would have to do something about that. That just, I couldn't let it go. There's something in me, be it the Holy Spirit or whatever, was just pushing me to write a sermon about that rose. As I thought about that rose, I began to say to myself that my faith was similar to that flower. It had been wilting on the outside, as was that rose, but still on the inside was waiting to bloom. All it needed was a proper pruning and fertilizing, and it would come to full bloom, or at least begin to blossom. I think that there are many of us whose faith is the same. It needs some tender, loving care, just like that rose. Sure, we attend church regularly, but is that enough? What do you think? Is that enough? I think that most of us really need to begin to tend to the condition of our faith. We don't really give it a chance to come to full bloom just by being in service every Sunday. Just like that rose, we need to give it proper nourishment. Things like regular Bible reading, Christian conferencing with one another, good solid Bible study, and taking our belief to the streets. Offer the peace of Christ, or God bless you, the people that you meet. Start with people that you know, people here. And then as the Spirit moves you, move on out to people that you don't know as well, or even strangers. I know it's hard. I struggle with it. I've only done it a couple times myself, but you know, it's there. We just need to do it. The perfect place to start would be to come and help with the clothing giveaway. The people that come for that giveaway would really light up if you could offer those sayings to them. Make them feel a little less self-conscious to have someone show they cared. Action like these will surely bring our faith to bloom and give us a sense of purpose to our Christian lives. There are so many things that we can do to fertilize that flower. We can help with meet and greet on Sunday after worship. It could be a liturgist on Sunday. There's always several slots that need to be filled. Help with the community meals on the first Sunday every month. And we can all clean and help keep the building neat. And we can help with keeping the grounds clean and groomed. And if all that sounds like too much, what do you think is the easiest thing you could do? Be a greeter. We all do that in the sanctuary every Sunday as we greet each other in the time of welcome and fellowship. All you need to do is take it out to the front door, give that loving handshake and a blessing to people that are coming through the door into our church. Whether they be members, people that come all the time, or whether they be visitors, that welcoming is always a great thing. As I was writing, I began to wonder, what do we hear when we are doing prayers or listening to the liturgy or listening to the pastor's sermon? Do we really get what the Lord's Prayer says to us? If we really begin to think about all these things, that flower of faith will begin to open up. Think about the hymn that we just sang, or what is the song that the choir just offered to us? What do they all mean? I know we've all heard someone say, I know you heard, but are you listening? It's a fair question, isn't it? I know you heard, but are you listening? You need to reflect upon that question and an answer and decide whether to be a hearer or a listener. And I hope you decide on the latter, to be a listener. As I look back on my faith, my own faith journey, I had that willing feeling for a while. Judy and I taught first grade Sunday school over in the old building. Many of you know where that was, as part of the Chinese church now. We taught there for a while, and then we moved over here and we taught downstairs. We taught first and second. Then I moved up and taught senior high and junior high Sunday school for a while, and Judy stayed with the little ones. Then we began to work with the youth. And that was very rewarding, to see the children grow on their own faith journeys. And you would think that that would be good for growing our own faith. But as I look back, I can see that we needed our faith to be strengthened by studying with our peers also. We were giving a lot, but not rejuvenating ourselves. I think that is the reason we suffered burnout. We just kind of dropped out on God. Not too long after we stopped with our Sunday school teaching and our youth, Judy decided that she wanted to sing in the choir. But she said, "I'm not doing it if you don't." So I was a bit reluctant, but I finally gave in. So we've been doing that for now about 7 or 8 years. And that is also rewarding, to be with a group of Christians that care and that want to share gifts with all of us. A short time after that, she said that she and Stephanie were going to join Bible study, and I should come too. But I said, "No, I've got other things to do. I've got things going on." I had my excuses. But they didn't give up. Then I took the lay speaking class offered by the district, which is something that I had wanted to do for a long time. And that got me started. I began to go to Bible study on a regular basis. And now, even when Judy says she doesn't want to go, I drag her along anyway. I'm the one saying, "You need to go." And since I began taking an active part in Bible study, I can see that I'm finding more joy in church than I had ever found before. It made a big difference to understand more about the teachings that I had been given all my life. My faith is beginning to make a lot more sense to me now, and I get much more meaning out of what I read and what I hear than I ever did before. My faith is finally beginning to blossom. I've taken the bait, and I'm learning what a true Christian is. Somebody found the right fertilizer to get me to grow. And that is my wish for each of you, that you too will find the right message to light that fire within you that gets you to see your faith in a whole new and exciting way. That you can find the nurturing that your faith needs to get you fired up for God. Get your clippers out. Trim those wilted petals. Feed that blossom so it comes to full bloom. A beautiful flower that our Creator will look down upon with a great big smile, saying, "You are the child of God you were meant to be." Tend that flower with Bible study, with regular Bible reading. If one of our groups doesn't fit your schedule, think about starting up a new group that will. There are several of us here that would love to help you get started. All you have to do is ask. Remember that Christ told us in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there with them. And John Wesley also said that Christian conferencing is a vital part of attaining grace, that meeting in small groups is very, very important. Give some serious thought to beginning a regular study with some of your peers. You will be surprised how much you can get and give through Christian conferencing. So go now and tend to your flower of faith. Prune and nourish it until it blossoms fully. God would be very pleased to look down on a sanctuary full of Christians in full bloom. Amen.